Greetings, Kermit the Frog here, and today I'd like to tell you a little bit about the color green. Do you know what's green? Well, I am for one thing. You see, frogs are green, and I'm a frog, and that means I'm green, you see? It's not that easy being green. Having to spend each day the color of the leaves, when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that.
Yeah, it's not easy being green. It's a little easier this week here in San Francisco because World Environment Day is, or actually World Environment Week is what it really is, has been going on all week here. It's from the United Nations started it back in the early 70s, and this is the first time it's ever happened in America, in the United States, I should say. And it's been kind of interesting. We've had people from all over the world, a lot of mayors, maybe 10 or 15 different mayors of cities. We had Enrique Peñalosa from Bogota was here. He's done some wonderful things down in Bogota, some really radical anti-car, you know, pro-community kind of things happening down there. Ken Livingstone from London is here. He's the one who introduced congestion pricing, where you have to actually pay to get into London if you're going to drive into downtown London. He was very politically unpopular, and he somehow managed to ram it through the government, and everybody loves it now. It's been very successful. Yeah, death rates are down, accidents are down, buses are on time. In fact, they're having trouble keeping them on schedule instead of ahead of schedule because there's so little traffic in the downtown now. So it's been a nice little junket for all these mayors from all over the world to come to San Francisco, and we have a few things that we're good at here. We're very good at recycling. We have curbside recycling, and we're showing that off. Our bicycling, we're doing pretty well, according to Bicycling Magazine anyway. We're, I think, the best city this year for bicycling, although I'd maybe dispute that. A lot of things happening with that. I went and took a walk out on the Civic Center, United Nations Plaza. Yeah, San Francisco has United Nations Plaza because we were the birthplace of United Nations, as well as Critical Mass. And out on United Nations Plaza, out on the lawn, there was big displays of various different groups had their tables and exhibits out. So I went out and took a little walk, and this is what I saw. Okay, well, here we are at the Civic Center in front of City Hall. Big, beautiful dome building. And there's a bunch of different exhibits around here having to do with World Environment Day. And I'm checking out here. The Department of Building Inspections has their big van out here. And these guys over across on the lawn here are building this thing called the Scrap House. So I'm going to go and find out what that's all about. Looks like they're building a house, a demonstration house out here on the lawn. Still building it out of scrap stuff that they found. So we'll go and ask about it. Hi, my name is John Winston.
Hi, Lawrence Cornfield. How you doing?
Hi, I'm recording this podcast about World Environment Day today.
Excellent.
And I just wanted to just have a little quick explanation of what it is you're doing here.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, this is a building made entirely of recycled, reclaimed, scrapped material. Most of it is from construction sites around San Francisco, and there are lots of things that we're trying to demonstrate here. It shows the kinds of materials that you can reuse and creative ways you could reuse them. It shows that the building department and other agencies are happy to consider alternative ways to solve problems, and we're all green. Everybody has a different message about this house. But most, and it's a wonderful, dramatic architectural statement.
It is kind of pretty, but at least from this end anyway.
Well, thank
you. It's not finished yet, is it?
It's not quite finished. Here, walk inside and take a look. It's quite big. It's almost, it's about 1,000 square feet inside with a mezzanine. It's a couple hundred square feet. It's a model. It's not a real house, but it's what a house could be like if you were to build one entirely out of recycled materials. This has taken us 2 weeks.
From start
to finish to build this thing.
Does the rain come in? Looks like there's a hole in the ceiling right there.
Yeah, we call that ventilation. Yeah, it's not really waterproof. If you were to want to make it a real house, you would, of course, you know, insulate it, make it waterproof,
and
all that stuff. But it's just for this 1 week event. And then next Sunday at 4 o'clock, we close the doors and we start disassembling it and scrap to scrap. You know,
it's really beautiful. What, I see there's a plug up there for a lamp or something.
Right.
Where does the electricity come from?
A power cord runs from the corner of the yard over there across the grass into the back, and we are powering up just lights and plugs.
Okay. Just for demonstration purposes.
Yeah. It's nice at night, you know, to see it glow out here.
And what's the name of your organization?
I'm the chief building inspector for the Department of Building Inspection. The organization that, and we're one of the main sponsors of this, there's a group called Public Architecture, which is a nonprofit, 501c3. Mm-hmm. It's being done under their aegis. They're the fiscal agent and all that. And
I need two keys that you can give me and not get back. Two keys.
Of any sort.
Okay.
That's scrap. That's how we get scrap.
Okay. I might be able to contribute.
Okay, good.
What's that, a moat out there?
A fish pond. We're about to put goldfish on this side and black fish on the other side. I'm getting scrap fish, actually. feeder fish. I can go to buy them out on Clement at Fifth. And they sell them 40 in a bag for $5. And they're fish that you feed your snake or your toad or whatever eats fish. And so we're going to give them another lease on life.
And you're about to give them away to the kids afterwards,
and
I guess.
Afterward, I'm going to take them home and put them in my own little backyard pond.
Oh, great. Oh, you got a pond in the back?
Yeah, a little tiny pond. So we'll have 400 fish in my little tiny pond.
So what's the bill? What's the building inspections department want to do? What's the ultimate aim here?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because no one really wants to know, and I like talking about that. No, I have a few really important messages, I think. One is that we like, and it makes my job more interesting, to look at alternative uses of materials. Uh-huh. You know, the building code basically says you either build things like a cookbook, and it tells you how to do it, stud 16 inches on center, you know, R11 insulation, or alternatively, you can design buildings independently, and then you have to do performance design stuff. And that's a lot more interesting for me. A lot of the inspectors like the cookbook because it's easier, but you know, we like creative architecture and structural engineering. Like, the trusses are very, very strong, and they're all made out of scrap metal, and they're enormously strong.
And this is cheap housing? Would this be more or less about the same price as a normal house?
Actually, the trusses, for example, are a very good model for how you can use scrap metal to make stuff a lot cheaper. So these trusses, they only weigh about 20 pounds, they cost about $20, and they take 20 minutes to make. And, you know, for affordable housing, I'd say these trusses are a model. And so we're learning all sorts of interesting lessons to do it. So that's one of my big messages. We have other ones. Let's see, we're trying to be green friendly, you know, and sustainability is part of our building department program. And, you know, but everybody says the same. You know, everybody's on the sustainability bandwagon. We sort of have to be ahead of it, because we have a lot of people coming in who say, I want to use this material.
Right.
And we have to know what they're talking about. So we're here both being educated and being educators at the same time.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, anything else you want to say?
That's
great. Thank you very much.
Come back. It'll be open through Sunday.
Okay, thanks.
All righty.
Yeah, so you may wonder why we're talking about housing on a bicycle podcast, but you may notice that the subtitle is Bikes and Space. And the way bicycles move through space, and we talk about transportation on this podcast a lot, but transportation has to do with going from point A to point B, and in a community, we talk about housing is really part of the equation, and it's you really need to have affordable housing in your community. It has to be near your food. It needs to be near groceries and work and employment. And in the future, if you're reading certain books, James Howard Kunstler has a book I'm just starting to work on. But he's saying that after we've hit peak oil, and I think he believes we've already done that, we're going to start finding that we have to have our food nearby. One of the statistics I read in researching for this show was that for a city of 650,000 people, San Francisco's 800,000, a city of 650,000 people needs 30,000 square miles of land to support it, you know, for crops and whatnot. So as the situation worsens, as oil doesn't, oil's not going to, like, just disappear one day. We're not going to just run out of oil, but it is going to, as we hit peak oil, it's going to get more and more expensive, and it's going to begin to be more and more costly to move things around. And you're going to find that we can't just import food from thousands of miles away. We're going to have to be near our food where it grows. So going off on a tangent there, but housing is part of the equation. It's all part of the equation. One of the things I saw out on the mall was an exhibit on a rain catcher. Here, I'll play that.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Are you as hot as me?
I'm warm, yes. I'm recording a podcast about all this stuff today.
Oh, wonderful.
This show called Bikescape.
Oh, cool.
It's basically about bikes, but you know, it all sort of fits in together, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
So I was wondering if you could just like do like a 3-second presentation of what it is you're doing here.
Sure. He's probably the best man to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, what we're doing is we're trying to present the idea of rain catchment, which is it's a sustainable water supply system. It's basically collecting the water at the point of use. So
right off your roof.
Right off your roof, wherever you live. Instead of letting it just wash away, it creates erosion problems, pollution. Collecting it, there's, you know, many benefits. You've created your own sustainable water supply. You've reduced runoff, reduced pollution, all in one.
See, like a purification system that fits in with it as well.
Yeah, the part of the system is pre-filtering the water as it goes into your cistern, which the other Germany and Australia and Japan have kind of perfected this, so that you've got a very clean supply already in your cistern, so the filtration you have to do on the other end is minimal. So
pretty simple stuff.
Yeah, very simple.
that was a 5-second description too.
Yeah, it's a 3,000-year-old concept. So we're just, it's kind of the cistern revival is what we're trying to
bring back.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. We also ran into some, I keep saying we, but I'm taking you along. So we also ran into
guys,
cops.
I got this little podcast called Bikescape.
Cops on Bikes.
You guys want to talk? It's like a little radio show you can download on your computer. And I was wondering, what do you guys, are cops? What do you think? Do you prefer being on a bike, or did they just put you on it and now you have to ride it? Or what do you think about being a bike cop?
It's cool, you know, dude.
Yeah.
My experience tells me don't comment on anything.
Okay. Thanks anyway. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Guys,
I want to hear it again. And then I just went and walked around and looked at some of the other exhibits. A lot of cars parked out there.
There's a little electric car here, owned by the city and county of San Francisco. Pacific Gas and Electric has one of their clean vehicles out here. Clean air vehicle powered by natural gas. FedEx has their OptiFleet van out here. Low emission hybrid electric vehicle. Improves fuel economy 57%. Well, I guess it's better to order your goods by FedEx on the internet rather than driving to the store. So if they're gonna drive it to your house, they might as well bring in one of these trucks. Every corporation is out here today. Greenpeace has a bunch of solar panels on a trailer here, extended out. Plug into clear energy, it says. Rolling sunlight. A trailer they drag around in a car. It's got Maryland plates on it, so they drag that all the way from Maryland, 3,000 miles. we like Greenpeace. Am I too cynical? Is that my problem? Here's Zapworld, zapworld.com. They've got a little little mini electric car. And it's mounted on top of a little mini electric Hummer. See, my problem isn't so much with, I do have a problem with cars that use a lot of fuel and pollute, but I have a problem with cars in general. They turn the streets into a war zone. Zero emissions, but it still uses electricity.
These were battery. No, they're not. There is an electric car at the very, very end, but all these are all gasoline European vehicles that they drive on the road today.
What's the mileage on that car?
I don't know this one, because it's a roadster, it's meant more for performance. So I think maybe in the 40 to 50 miles per gallon, but this gets about 65 miles per gallon.
Why are they so smart?
Because they're very environmentally friendly, being such good efficient vehicles.
But if they burn a fuel, it's so good environmentally, it's still.
Because it's twice or three times what you get with even a Toyota Echo here, which is one of the better cars. They're really great for city, especially like this car. You can park it, you can nose dive to the curb and park next to everyone else.
Right.
Well, even electric cars use fuel. The fuel is just getting burned somewhere else.
These are electric cars.
It doesn't matter whether these cars will get the same efficiency probably out of an electric vehicle as far as emissions are concerned, because you're burning coal to make the electricity to drive your electric vehicle. Versus these cars are just taking gasoline directly.
Electricity is getting expensive too these days.
Yeah. It'll still never be,
You said 15,000?
They start at 15, yeah.
So you can get 15 of these. This is $1,000. And it runs on pizza.
Exactly.
So this one right here costs more than that then. It costs more than 15,000.
Probably.
It's roadster. You said it's a roadster. Right?
Yeah.
Nobody takes me seriously.
It's called the Smart Roadster.
All right, well, good luck. I find it really telling that there are so many cars parked in front of City Hall. All parked illegally, I might say. You're not allowed to park here. But I don't see any bicycle exhibits here. This is supposed to be an environmental show here, and I have yet to see one bicycle stand.
Well, this is the Lawrence Livermore Energy Bike. What's your name?
My name's John.
John?
Okay, Lawrence Livermore?
Yeah, Lawrence Livermore Energy Bike.
Uh-huh.
And I'll ask you to ride for 30 seconds.
Okay.
The light bulbs will intensify as your riding intensifies. We'll print out a report at the end telling you how much power you generated and what that means.
All right.
So you can start anytime you're ready.
All right, I'm going.
All right, here you go.
Starting now, huh?
Yep, you got 28 seconds left.
Seat's a little low.
Well, we don't have toe clips or derailleur gear either. It's about learning the lessons.
I don't see the light really burning.
Yeah, if you ride a little faster, you're local here.
I'm the world's slowest bicyclist.
10 seconds left. Well, it's a tortoise and hare thing. You don't have to be in a hurry. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good performance. You're done.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to print your report, but we can pull out here on the screen and look at our preview.
I'll save some paper.
No, that's already printed. Okay. 4 calories burned.
That guy just did seven calories.
Well, he worked harder. But he might be able to work longer. So, but we only test for 30 seconds. You could keep a TV on for almost 21 seconds, which means you'd have to work harder to keep it on. And you could keep a hairdryer on for 3.3 seconds, but doesn't seem to be an issue.
I didn't count my strokes. Does it count that?
I didn't count your strokes either. A hairdryer, about 2.7 seconds. Take about 15 minutes to cool a drink, or 4.6 days to heat up a tub of bath water.
So what's this telling us, that we use a lot of energy?
Did it take some of your resource to generate that power?
I'm in pretty good bicycle shape, so it didn't bother me too much. But
well, if you worked a little harder, you'd probably be out of breath, in which most of the school kids are.
Yeah.
And when they're out of breath, I ask them, well, how much of your resource did that take?
Right.
And they say, oh, I'm really tired, it wore me out. I say, well, what happens when you leave a room and you leave the lights on?
Right.
Where do we get the resources to generate that power? And that's from our Earth. And then I talk about sources of fuel that we use to make our electric power. Some hydroelectric, some solar, some renewables, but mostly we burn dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And very inefficiently.
I tend to burn pizza. I'm thinking a slice of pizza is probably about 600 calories.
Well, you're going to have to work a little harder to work that off.
Yeah, well, a slice of pizza would get, if I don't drive, a slice of pizza might get me to...
Might get you somewhere.
I guess it would get me to across the bridge at least.
There you go, John.
Thanks.
Yeah, so that was the one bicycle exhibit that I saw there, was this stationary bicycle, and he was basically trying to tell you how hard it is to ride for 30 seconds, and it was really depressing to hear him say that most kids, when they ride that thing, they're out of breath after 30 seconds, and he's trying to describe, you know, just how hard it is to, like, generate enough electricity to run a hairdryer for 30 seconds. So, geez, you know. So there was a couple. There were was a good thing happening over in the library across the other side of the mall in the Corette Auditorium. The there was a World Environment Day sponsored discussion about cities on the move, innovative urban planning, public transportation strategies from around the globe. It was called, and Leah Shaham, the ED, the executive director of the Bike Coalition here in San Francisco, spoke. Lilia Scott. From the regional rideshare program, and Todd Mardulovich, Adam Millard Ball, senior associate of Nelson Nygaard Consulting, spoke, and he was talking about parking and how expensive it is, and why is it we get it for free, and he thinks that his thesis was that because we feel we're entitled under the Constitution to have free parking wherever we go. That because of that we've got sprawl, and because of that we have these huge parking lots, and even if you take a bus somewhere to the shopping center or whatever, you have to walk across a huge, unsafe, ugly parking lot. And that even if you think it's free, when you go to a Safeway and you buy a gallon of milk, you park your car there, you half the real estate that Safeway takes up is parking. And that when you buy that gallon of milk there, a portion of that gallon of milk that you're paying $4.54 is going to pay for the parking. And he feels that if we pay for our parking, if we're asked to pay for our parking, first of all, we won't drive as much, but second of all, we won't have the required parking that people have to build when they build supermarkets or whatever. And we will have tighter, denser, more livable cities as a result. Lilia Scott talked about rideshare. She talked about, you know, how you, saving, using a car over and over again, sharing a car between 30, 35 people. Though I'm going to post a link to the rideshare program here in San Francisco. It's a pretty good program. I always thought when I had kids I might start using it, and I'm not using it. I still don't want to drive, but I'm weird. Tom Radulovich, who you might remember from the tour of Octavia Boulevard a few podcasts ago, talked about transportation for a livable city. He's the executive director of a group called Transportation for a Livable City, and he talked about cities around the world and how they construct roads and sidewalks and how they make things more livable, and, you know, how they park their cars and everything. And Leah, of course, gave a really good discussion about bicycles and bicycle policy and bike lanes, colored bike lanes, and how they do bike lanes in other cities and bike paths and basic goals for increasing ridership. And that it was all very stimulating. Everybody was speaking to the choir. We're going to actually be speaking to I've got Leah and Tom lined up for an interview. I have it recorded what they said, but it's just not worth it. The recording is not that very good, but we're going to have them speak, especially to you bikescapers out there next time we're on the air here. But they were speaking to the, as I was saying, to the converted. They were preaching to the converted. There were maybe about 20, 25 people in the audience, and everybody pretty much knew each other, and it was very stimulating for us, but it wasn't going out to the public at large out there on the mall where people were looking at those fancy new fuel cell cars, and there was a fuel cell bus and all this car stuff. And the more I thought about it, just the more I got angry. The whole idea of you know, trying to make the system that we've got work even after we've reached peak oil, the idea of fuel cells, the millions of dollars that are going into fuel cell technology and these hybrid cars, and you know, nothing wrong with fuel-efficient cars, but that energy really, really needs to be going into walkable communities. There should have been at least one exhibit about, you know, how to create walkable communities and public transportation that works for people, and livable, walkable, energy-efficient communities that we can actually be proud of, that we would actually be sustainable. You know, with anything, I didn't see anything that was suggested there that was could fall under the category of sustainability. So that leads me to give the big Bikescape thumbs down. We're making a major pan of this whole World Environment Day. If anybody feels differently about it, please write in to Bikescape. You can leave a comment on the blog, bikescape.blogspot.com. I'm sorry, bikescape.blogspot.com. Or you can send me an email at bikescape@sbcglobal.net. I'd like to hear some. I'd like to be less depressed about this, because I was kind of excited about this coming along and really feel like it let me down. Anyway, I guess it's time for something completely different. Let's see, how about something to separate us, a little song here. Yeah. The Desperate Bicycles, 1976, out of London. What do we have going on in San Francisco? There's a public meeting in Oakland on Oakland's bike plan Wednesday, June 8th, 5:30 p.m. at the Lakeside Park Garden Center, 666 Bellevue Avenue, near Grand Avenue Bikeway in Oakland. So they're updating their master plan on bicycles. They'd like to hear what you have to say about bicycles in Oakland. I like to see them just clean up those streets, man, the glass and everything. They have bike lanes there. You can't ride in them because they're filled with glass. So, let's see. Bike Ed, Street Skills, Bike Class, Saturday, June 11th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Richmond Police Station, Level 1. Street Skills is a four-hour introductory classroom session that includes cyclist legal rights and responsibilities, negotiating intersections, crash avoidance, wet weather riding, and more. Genius there, that piano. Yeah, so San Francisco Night and Day Challenge, 60 checkpoints. This is Saturday, June 11th. It's basically like an alley cat race. 60 checkpoints are marked on a map of San Francisco and Southern Marin. Visit as many as you can in 3 hours, 7 hours, or 16 hours. Go team or go solo. Be competitive or casual. Check it out at www.nightanddaychallenge.com. Sunday night, sunset at Sutro Heights Park. Sunday night, June 12th, 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Just watch the sunset. Join us for a pleasant ride to this supreme sunset viewing spot. Bring front and rear lights, water, and hors d'oeuvres to share. No one turned away for lack of hors d'oeuvres, but you get frowned on. It's 8 to 10 miles, some hills. Talk to Nancy at nancybotkin.com. Volunteer night, Bike Coalition, Wednesday, June 15th. Critical Mass will be on Friday, June 24th. Both all over the world for that one. 6 p.m. at Justin Herman Plaza at the foot of Market Street. I'm going to be doing my critical mass in L.A. for Bike Summer. Bike Summer is happening. I'm going to go down there. You'll see the people from Time's Up are going to be giving a talk the Thursday before critical mass. Check out their calendar at www.bikesummer.org. What do we got? A 14th annual bike swap on sale. Sycamore 425 Sycamore in Mill Valley, California, north in Marin County, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturday, June 25th. Okay. Oh, and let's not forget the San Francisco, well, this is happening everywhere, World Naked Bike Ride, June 11th, 2005. Go to worldnakedbikeride.org and check it out. It's time to put a stop to the indecent exposure of people and the planet to cars and the pollution they create. According to the United Nations, close to 1 million species of plants and animals could disappear from the face of the Earth in the next 50 years as a result of greenhouse gases. So, well, it'll be a fun thing to do, ride naked. I understand the people in London actually have a permit to ride naked in the street with a police escort. So, see how that works over here. What else have we got? The Time's Up calendar in New York. What is this? Today is the 4th, so we'll go after that. Let's see. Saturday is over, so you're going to miss the museum ride. Bike Repair Workshop, 6 p.m., 49 East Houston Street, between Mott and Mulberry, at the Time's Up space. Movie night at the same place, 8 p.m. on Thursday the 8th. I'm sorry, it's Thursday the 9th. They're going to have a Prospect Park traffic calming ride over in Brooklyn, I guess. Prospect Park. They do that every now and then. 6:15 p.m., meet at the Grand Army Plaza entrance. And also on that day, the Critical Mass, Brooklyn. Brooklyn has their Critical Mass on, I guess it looks like the second Friday of the month. 7 p.m., Grand Army Plaza in Brooklyn. So you can calm some traffic and then be some traffic. Critical Mass always likes to say, we're not blocking traffic, we are traffic. Introduction to Bicycle Welding on the 12th of June. This is also in New York at 2 p.m. at 49 East Houston. And they're also on that same day having a small-wheeled bike race in Central Park at 2 p.m. at 2nd Street, 2nd Street Transverse, 72nd. That makes more sense. Central Park, 72nd Street Transverse, Mid Park at Bethesda Terrace. That sounds like something interesting. Lots of little things happening. We'll get to those things. There's another bike repair workshop. They have ladies' night. Ladies' bicycle repair night for those women who are intimidated by all the machismo around bicycle fix-its. And, boy, that's what's happening in New York. They just concluded a bike month over there, which I neglected to properly report on, but it looks like it was a screaming success, according to some people that I know went to there. Nancy, who's leading that ride to the sunset, was there, and she told me they went to a few events, had a great time. And, wow, it's another Bikescape. I hope you enjoyed this one. I hope I wasn't too cynical. I really would like to see something hopeful happen in this world. You know, people would start just facing the truth about global warming and peak oil, and just realize that, you know, we just aren't going to be able, cheap energy. You know, the world has been working on the premise of cheap energy for the last 100 years, and that's ending. So we have to think of new ways to do things, and it's going to take major adjustment suddenly, or we can start slowly and work on it starting now. You know, the horses are already out of the barn, and the doors are open, and let's deal with it, folks. So in the meantime, enjoy your weather, enjoy the great weather out there, and go for a bike ride. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take the kids out tomorrow, and we're going to go for a little bike ride. Enjoy the summer in the San Francisco, climb a few hills with the kids. Thank you very much. This song is called A Mouthful of Exhaust. See y'all later. Bye.
$74,000 in prize money for disappointment or death.